I want to read you some scriptures from John's Gospel. I'm going to read them one at a time and then talk to you about them. You don't have to find each one, but you can if you like. Starting in John's Gospel, chapter 1. Hold on, I haven't got that.
1265.
Page 1265. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And if it's the same Bible as mine, it's in the bottom right-hand corner.
They're all the same.
And it says, in verse 11, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to him gave he the right to be children of God, to those that believe on his name. Sometimes people say, and there's people in the Bible that have said this, what do I have to do to be saved? I don't know how many times you've heard the gospel, but when I was a kid, I heard it every week. And I didn't get saved till I was about 19. So I'd heard it hundreds of times. I don't know why this is. But there's lots of people that still think that if they're going to get to heaven, they've got to do something like be good. Or come to church. And the Bible doesn't say anything like that at all. It doesn't say you've got to be good to get to heaven. And it doesn't say you've got to come to church to go to heaven. Or come to a hall like this to go to heaven. It doesn't say you've got to do anything like that at all. So I want to read you a few scriptures tonight, starting with this one, which tell you what you do have to do to get to heaven. And it's quite important, you know, because what Jesus taught in the Bible is that one day when you die, although someone might bury your body in the ground or cremate it, your soul, the bit that's really you inside, it carries on living. And it's only got two places, according to Jesus, that it can go. One is to heaven, where he is, and the other is to hell. And we're preaching the gospel so you don't end up in hell. So what is it you have to do to get to heaven? I read you this scripture in John's Gospel in the beginning. The words might seem a bit complicated, but it says about Jesus that he came to his own and his own received him not. What does that mean? Well, think about it like this, right? If you're in the playground with some of your friends, right, and there's someone new who's just come along that you don't know, and they come towards you, you've got a choice, haven't you? You can look at that new person and you can say, get lost. We don't want you. Go away. Don't want to be your friend. Just go away. That's what John means. Jesus came to his own people, the Jews, and they said, go away. Don't want you. Received him not, John calls it. Go away. And then John says there's some other people. As many as received him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those that believe on his name. John says there's some other people that Jesus came to, and they received him. They looked at Jesus and they said, I want you. I want you to be my friend. And if you want to go to heaven, you have to receive Jesus. You need him as your friend. You actually have to look at Jesus. You can't see him like you can see me standing here. But you have to look to Jesus. And inside you, you have to say to Jesus, I want you. I need you. I need you to be my friend. You have to receive him. Right, let's look at another scripture. They're all in John's Gospel. So turn over 1, 2, 3 pages to page 1269. Page 1269. John's Gospel, chapter 3. Page 1269. It's on the right-hand side there. And it's in the left-hand column. Halfway down, two-thirds of the way down, verse 16. Maybe the most famous verse in the Bible. And it says this: For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish. There's a few things you might want to notice in that verse. God gave his only begotten Son. What's an only begotten Son? What does that mean? Well, other translations have it as God's one and only Son. Think of it like this. All of us, at some point, whether we know them or not, whether you live with them or not, doesn't matter. You and I all had a dad at one point, a father. I've got a brother who's got two little kids. He's adopted them. He's not their real dad. They're adopted. But what this Bible is saying is that Jesus, his real father, was God. His mum was Mary, and his dad was not Joseph. His father was God. He wasn't adopted. He didn't have another parent, another father. His father was God. One of the things the Bible promises you, if you come to Christ, is that God will adopt you as his son. You will be God's son. One of his adopted sons. But God has a son who is his real son. Not adopted. His son. And his name's Jesus. His only begotten Son. His Son. And he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Years ago when I was a kid, I remember the preachers telling us, you should try putting a name in it. Try it. Just quietly in your head. And my name's Tim, if you didn't know. And I read it and it says, for God so loved Tim that he gave his only begotten Son. That if Tim believes on him, he won't perish, but have eternal life. Try putting your name in. But here's the thing, what do you need to do to go to heaven? According to this scripture, what do you need to do? Well, apparently what you need to do is believe on him. Believe on him. What's that mean? I struggled with that as a kid. Preachers kept telling me you need to believe on him. But what does believe mean? Do you know the story of Jesus? You know how he lived here 2,000 years ago? And how when he was about 30 years old, he started to teach and he started to preach. He started to heal people. It seems he could heal anybody at all of any kind of disease. And then he was about 33. And he was crucified. And he died on a cross, just outside a place called Jerusalem. And it tells you a soldier put a spear into his side, and blood and water flowed out. God's asking you to believe, accept that that's true. But it's a bit more than that. When he says believe, it's a bit more than that. What the Bible tells you is that Jesus is God's Son. He's asking you to believe that that's true. And you need to do that. But it's a bit more than that. The Bible says that the blood that came from Jesus on that cross, the blood of God's own Son, is enough to wash away every sin that anyone's ever sinned. It says that it's enough to wash away everything that you've ever done that's wrong. Everything that you've ever thought. Everything that you've ever said. Everything that you've ever done that's wrong. The Bible says it's enough to make you clean from all of that. And you need to believe that it's true. Let's have another look at another verse. What else do you need to do to be saved? Have a look at John chapter 5, about three pages on, page 1273. It's on the right hand side again, page 1273, John chapter 5. and verse, it's right in the bottom right hand corner, verse 39. John 5, verse 39. And Jesus speaking, he says, "You search the scriptures, for you think that in them you have life eternal, and they it is which bear witness concerning me. And you will not come to me that you might have life." What's he saying? He's talking to some people who were Jews, and they were really religious. And they had some scriptures. The scriptures that they had are what you've got here in the Old Testament. They had that. And he's saying to them, you look in those scriptures because you want to know what the answer is about going to heaven, eternal life. You're searching the scriptures, he said to them, to try and find out how you get to heaven. They really wanted to know. And Jesus said, where you're going wrong is you're not seeing that those scriptures that you're searching, they speak about me, Jesus, he said. They speak about me, they tell you about me. This man that was standing in front of them 2,000 years ago, he was saying to them, those scriptures you're searching, they speak about me. And then he says, and you won't come to me that you might have life. So what is it you have to do? According to Jesus, you have to come to him. You have to come to him. Well, it was alright for them, wasn't it? It's 2,000 years ago and he was standing in front of them and they could actually physically get up and walk a few steps and come to him. What are you supposed to do? How do you come to him? Well, when they buried him, when he was crucified and they buried him, he was in a tomb for 3 days and three nights, and on that Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, he was alive again, raised from the dead by God, raised his own son, alive. What does that mean? It means he's still alive. He may be in heaven, but he's alive. And you can speak to him, and he will hear. It's true. You can speak to him, and he'll hear. If you spoke out loud like I am and shouted, he would hear. If you spoke very quietly and whispered, he will hear. If you don't say the words out loud at all, and you just say them quietly inside, so that the person next to you doesn't know you're even saying them, he will still hear. He will hear. He is alive. And he says, if you want to go to heaven, to these people long ago, and he says it to you now, if you want to go to heaven, you have to come to me. You have to come. And so that's my question for you. Have you ever come to Jesus? Preachers have asked you and told you about it many times, but at some point you actually have to turn inside and come to Jesus. You haven't got to move your feet. You've got to move your heart. You've got to move it. Away from saying, I don't want you, I won't receive you, I don't want you in my life, and I don't want you to be my friend. I don't mind hearing about you, Jesus, but I don't want you inside. I don't want you interfering with my life. You need to move from that to a place where you receive him. Where you take him for yourself as your friend. Where you turn to him and you believe on him. You actually believe he's God's son. You actually believe that he died on a cross. You actually believe that he shed his blood for you. And you actually believe that that blood washes away your sins forever. And you believe that he's alive. You believe that he's alive so much that you speak to him and talk to him. If you want to come to heaven, you have to come to Jesus first. There is no other way. It's not that complicated. He's the Saviour. He loves you. He desperately wants you to come to him. And when you come, he will hear what you say. And he will answer your prayer. How do I know that? Well, it's in the next scripture I'm going to read to you. If you turn on two more pages to page 1279. I think I've gone too far, actually. You don't need to turn on that far at all. We're on page 1275. John chapter 6. 1275. John chapter 6. And the right hand side of the page again. And there you have it. Halfway through verse 37. He says, "Him that comes to me, I will not at all cast out." Or her. Doesn't have to be male. Him or her who comes to me, Jesus said, it's a promise. I will not at all cast out. If you come, he promises he won't turn you away. What do you have to do before you come? Not a lot, really. Turn in your heart to him and speak to him. If all the things I've said to you sound too difficult and you don't quite understand, well, just come to Jesus and he'll sort that out. Turn in your heart to him and tell him you need him and you want him. Tell him if you don't understand, tell him that, I don't understand, but I do want you. Ask him to help you understand. He's alive, he hears you. He desperately wants you to come. And he wants you. Whoever comes to him, he says, him that comes to me, I will not at all cast out. Never turn you away. Never. He'll welcome you. I've got one more scripture for you. And then I'm finished. Turn on a couple more pages. This time it is page 1279. Because here's a warning. It wasn't spoken to you, it was spoken to some people who lived 2,000 years ago. It's John chapter 8 and it's verse 24. And he says to some people, and halfway through verse 24, you see that? He says, "You shall die in your sins." It's on the right hand side again, about halfway down, verse 24. "I said therefore to you, you shall die in your sins." Why were these people he was speaking to going to die in their sins? Why were they not going to be forgiven? Why were they not going to heaven? Why? Well, he tells them. He says, "I said therefore to you that you shall die in your sins, for unless you shall believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins." Unless you do what? Unless you believe that I am he. I am who? Saviour, yeah. Unless you believe that I'm the Saviour, Jesus said. Unless you believe I'm the Son of God. Unless you believe that I died for you. Unless you believe that my blood washed away your sins. Jesus says, you'll die in your sins. But, if you believe him, if you trust him, you'll go to heaven. Your sins will be forgiven. Can you see that it's not really about what you do? It's not about what you do at all. It's all about him. If you turn in your heart to him, then what he's done on that cross, that's what washes away your sins. That's what removes them. What he's done on that cross, that's what makes you fit for heaven. The reason that God will say, "Welcome into heaven when your time comes," isn't really because of you. It's because he looks at what his son did and said what his son Jesus did. That's perfect. He took away your sins. Come in. Come in. Do you see that? That's what the gospel's about. You have to come to Jesus. And when you come, he'll forgive you your sins. Give you a place in heaven forever. He'll never cast you out. He'll welcome you. He loves you. So if you've never come to Jesus before, will you come? Just inside your heart, even while you're sitting here now, will you turn and just ask Jesus to have you?